Parshat Tzav is full of dinim of karbanos, as Parshat Vayikra was. Parshat Tzav of the Ramban earlier, most of the Rambans on Parshat Tzav are halachic. Very, very intriguing. He talks about, points out that if when you first begin to go through Parshat Tzav, it seems like there's a lot of repetition. We've heard this all already. We heard about the chatos, we heard about this carbon, we heard about that carbon. Seems like it's a repeat of Parshat Vayikra. Much of Tzav seems that way. Then as you begin to pay more attention, Ramban guides us to noticing that many of the paragraphs in Tzav that seem like repeats of Vayikra are adding more detail. That maybe the carbon was sketched out in basic terms in Parshas Vayikra, then in Tzav we're hearing more details of how to bring a carbon chatas, more details of how to bring that carbon. And then, at the end of Perek Zayin, the very end of Perek Zayin, the end of Shlishi, that's where the Torah is about to turn from reviewing and adding to some of the dinim of karbanos in general to focusing on specifically the karbanos hamiluim. The Perek Ches already begins with how are you going to induct the Kohanim, Aaron and his sons, into Kahuna. So before we get to the second half of Tzav, so before we wrap up the first half of Tzav, so really wrapping up the first all of Vayikra and the beginning of Tzav, these seven prakim of basic kachim, maisa karbanos. How do you bring an ola? How do you bring a chatas? How do you bring an ashim? And so on and so forth. So the Torah ends with a pasuk that should be familiar to us from the piyutim of the Shalosh Regalim. Zos ha-Torah la'ola la'mincha v'la'chatas v'la'asham. This is the Torah. These are the rules for an ola, mincha, chatas, nashim, v'la'miluim, zevach ha-shlomim. So on and so forth. Here the rules for the different categories of karbanos miluim are coming up as well. Asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe behar Sinai b'yom tzavosoes b'nei Yisrael, which HaKadosh Baruch commanded Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, on the day that he commanded b'nei Yisrael lahakriv es korbanehem l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. On the day that he commanded the Jews to bring their karbanos to Hashem in the desert of Sinai. So one thing you should know is one of the most basic dinim of karbanos is learned from this pasuk, and b'yom tzavoso is a source for the fact that almost all of us are karbanos can only be done by yom, with the exception of continuing to burn parts on the mizbeach. That can be done by laila, first mishnah in Shas, but 99% of us are karbanos has to be done by yom. That's based on b'yom tzavoso, that middle of this pasuk. The Rabban points out, what does this pasuk mean? Asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe behar Sinai. These are the rules that Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. We'll come back to the end of the pasuk in a moment. The Rabban says, al derech raboseinu, take a look inside please. Perek Zayin pasuk lam ches, parshat Tzav, the Rabban writes, Asher tzivo Hashem es Moshe behar Sinai, that which the Torah of all of the karbanos, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded to Moshe Ben Har Sinai, al derech raboseinu, says Ramban. Using the approach of Chazal, Rav Shavel tells you, footnote 28, Gemara and Masechet Sota, ki kol hamitzvos nemru l'Moshe b'Har Sinai kelaloseihen u'pirteihen v'diktukeihen. All the mitzvahs were already said, taught to Moshe Har Sinai, basic principles as well as details, v'nishnu behen, by Ol Moed, and then they were reviewed in Ol Moed. V'hinei mitzvos Vayikra shenuyos. So lo and behold, the mitzvos of Vayikra are shenuyos, as in Lashon Nishnu, Sheni. They're being repeated. Lo and behold, they are repeated. What's the lo and behold? Well, what is it about the pasuk that the Ramban is so fascinated by? If you're thinking that we just came off of a Shai Mekavecha Targum quiz on Parshat Vayikra, so while we're opening Rashi in Parshat Vayikra, opening pasuk in Parshat Vayikra, what's the opening pasuk in Parshat Vayikra, which Rashi highlights? Opening pasuk in Parshat Vayikra is a byline, right? It tells me where is it taking place. Ol Moed. Right? Rashi stresses that there was giving of Torah in Har Sinai, there was giving of Torah in Ol Moed, and there was giving of Torah in Arvos Moav. Those three locations that Chazal note keep recurring throughout the halachic parts of Chumash. Sinai, Ol Moed, and Arvos Moav is a Chumash Devar. What the Ramban is fascinated by is, one second, Vayikra begins, this is being taught where? Ol Moed. And Rashi gives the whole rundown, the opening pasuk of how Kadosh Baruch Hu So how did HaKadosh Baruch communicate with him? The call comes from the Kruvim, and Moshe is able to hear it, and so on and so forth. That's the teaching of Torah over the course of the years in the Midbar in the Olam Moed. And here the Pasuk says, that's how these parashios begin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls to Moshe Rabbeinu in Olam Moed and tells him the following seven prakim. Ola, Mincha, Chatas, Ashram, etc. Shlomim is in there. At the end, the conclusion, that's the introduction, the conclusion was Bahar Sinai. So what Rashi, what the Rambam is really bothered by is, which one is it? Which one was it? Was it Olam Moed? Was it Har Sinai? It's a stira. Stira from Parsha Yikud to Parsha Tzav. Oh, so that's the Rabban, that's an implied question the Rabban is answering, exactly as you said. He says, this is an example of what Chazal lay out in Sota, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught the Dinim to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, and then retaught them in Olam Moed, even though he already taught them in detail in Har Sinai. In other words, although in Chumash, typically only one location appears, that might mean the only one version is recorded in Chumash, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught them Moshe Har Sinai, taught him again, maybe from a different angle, different nusach, in the Olam Moed. Kol HaMitzvos Nemru L'Moshe, that's what it says. Al Derech Rabbi Oseinu, Chazal teach us in Maseches Hota, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught it and taught it again. Vehine, those four words, Vehine Mitzvos Vayikra Shinios, lo and behold, there you go. The Mitzvos of Vayikra are repeated. What do you mean the Mitzvos of Vayikra repeated? I mean, because in Vayikra, we heard that it was being taught in Olam Moed. Here we hear it's being taught in Har Sinai. The answer is, it was taught both times. And here's the evidence. Here's where the Torah is specified. This was taught there and here. So that's what the Ramban says, Al Derech Raboseinu. Al Derech Raboseinu is another way of saying Al Derech Drash. There are multiple accurate ways to read Chumash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Chumash and tells Moshe Rabbeinu that I'm giving you, I'm HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do whatever I please. I'm omnipotent, kol yachol. So I'm telling you that I wrote this text that has multiple layers of meaning, all working simultaneously. And you're going to need to use multiple layers of tools to mine the text for all those chunks, nuggets of meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left embedded for us to find. So the Derech Drash, he says, it was taught Olam Moed and it was taught Har Sinai. The Pasuk beginning of Perek Aleph and this Pasuk beginning of Perek Zayin are talking about two different events, which both happened. Over the course of the months on Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Dinim of Parsha Vayikra, the Dinim of Ma'aser Karbanos, and then he taught him again once Olam Moed was up and running. He chazered over with him again, all the Dinim of the Karbanos. That's Al Derech Drash. And then he says, Al Derech Pshat. And how do you read the Pasuk Al Derech Pshat? It could be pshat. But here there's something else going on. There's something else going on. Also, there's an additional curiosity in this pasuk alone. For those who like Minei Obey, you ask me a kashrut Perek Aleph. It's Perek Zayin. Of course you can. Divrei Torah, Niv Malka Mecher, Ashir Malka Mecher. Chazal are quite clear that Minei Obey kashrus are not the only valid questions. I mean, both because they tell us Divrei Torah, Anigim Malkam Echav, Shir Malkam Acher. Often the way Torah Shalpeh was presented, it'll be impoverished. Anigim Malkam Echav, Shir Malkam Acher. Often you need to look elsewhere for a richer presentation. That's the Chazal's comment on the Pasuk in Mishlei, in Eshes Chayil. I think Mimerchak Tavi Lachma. I think that's the Pasuk that they comment. She brings her bread from far away. It means often you have to look elsewhere in the Torah Shalpeh to figure out what's going on here. And it's also evident from any daf of Gemara or any Tosfos. Or understand here, we'll quote, well, there's a Tosefta over there, and there's a Gemara over there, and there's a Mishnah over there, and that's how we figure out what's going on over here. So, of course, Minei Obey questions are not the only valid questions. They are also valid questions, Minei Obey. So even without one valid question, what do you do with Perek Aleph? The other valid question is, what do you do with the Seifa of this Pasuk? Because the positive begins, Asher Tziva Hashem es Moshe Bahar Sinai, B'yom Tzavo Sos B'nei Yisrael, on the day they commanded the Jewish people to bring their karbanos to Hashem, B'mid Bar Sinai. in the Sinai Desert. What's the Sinai Desert? That's interesting. And bringing carbonos in the Sinai Desert. What does this all mean? So that also could yield to, well, let's see. How are we going to work this out? Adar Chapshat. Shi'uro, the shir, remember the we've seen this in the past. Ramban uses the word shir not to mean a Geshmaka Torah class. You know, shir means the interpretation, which, again, a shir should be giving you the shir. Shi'uro, the interpretation of the pasuk is, or the way to explicate, the way to punctuate the pasuk, Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe behar Sinai. These are the dinim that Moshe taught, Kosh Ba'o taught Moshe behar Sinai. U biyom tzavoso as Bnei Yisrael b'midbar Sinai la'kriv es karbonam l'Hashem. And on the day that he commanded Jewish people to bring their karbonos, that he told them in Midbar Sinai. Two different things on Har Sinai and Midbar Sinai. Kitziva b'milu and b'har Sinai. And the milu already commanded in Chumash Shemos on Har Sinai, Parshas Tetzaveh. All of the chatzos, all chatzos you hear about there. Mincha Asham Zivchei Shlomim, that appears here by Midbar Sinai by Ol Moed. Okay, so maybe it means the same dinim were taught twice, or maybe it means some of the dinim were taught on Har Sinai. Parshas Tetzav already has some dinim of Karbonos. The other dinim only taught here. That's another approach. Adar Chapshat. And then he says, let's dig a little bit further. V'yitachen. Yitachen, it could be, Kitam Bahar Sinai. You know what Bahar Sinai means? Bamakam hazeh lefnei Har Sinai. Maybe Har Sinai, says Ramban. Another approach on Derech Pshat. Maybe it's not that we're identifying part of the dinim we're taught in Har Sinai, part of the dinim we're taught in Ol Moed. Because again, on Derech Pshat, things were taught in one place or the other. And the truth is, the Gemara has a machlokas about that. So even the Derech Rav Hussein is according to one approach. He says, but let me give you a third approach. In addition to the dinim we're taught twice. Number one. Number two, some of the dinim were taught in Har Sinai, some of the dinim were taught on Moed. It says, approach number three, what does Bahar Sinai mean? B'makam hazeh lefnei Har Sinai. Maybe Har Sinai, this is a radical approach, he says, maybe Har Sinai here doesn't mean on Mount Sinai. Maybe it means next to Mount Sinai. Bihar Sinai means base camp. Bahar Sinai means the area immediately surrounding Har Sinai, which is the Ol Moed. V'chein olas tamid ho'asuyah b'har Sinai. Is that pasuk that we say Keseder and Karbanos? What does that mean? Olas tamid ho'asuyah b'har Sinai. Right? L'reach nicholach. It was done on Har Sinai. They brought the carbon tamid on Har Sinai? No, they didn't. Einenu b'har mamish. They didn't actually bring it on the mountain. Ki olas tamid lo'hizchilu b'rak b'ol Moed. Oh, the old carbon oil was only brought, the carbon tablet was only brought in the Ol Moed. Zichsiv v'zeshar tasal mizbeach v'gomer. So, clearly that pasuk is so familiar to us from Karbanos every day, from the Rosh Chodesh laning every month. Once you start thinking about it, Ha'asuya b'har Sinai, he says, Ha'pipshuto means Ha'asuya v'Ol Moed. Ha'asuya in the area immediately surrounding Har Sinai. He says, I'll bring you more riots. V'chein v'yisu mehar Hashem. V'yisu mehar Hashem. That already takes us to Parshas Baaloscha. They left, they traveled away from the mountain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Har Sinai. But they were on Har Sinai? No, they were camped near Har Sinai. V'chein, Rav Lechem Shevez Bahar Hazeh. You've been long enough on this mountain. That is, as he tells in the bottom, points out, that's the beginning of Chumash Devarim. It's Moshe's recounting to the next door about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them it's time to travel to Eretz Yisrael. It's time to leave the area right near Har Sinai. Again, the language of the Pasuk, and here's the point, the language of the Pasuk is Bid, not Eitzel. Rav Lechem Shevez Bahar Hazeh. You've been living long enough on the mountain, not on the mountain, in the mountain, it means in the area right around the mountain. Right? Those specific, it's clear that Rav Lechem Shevez Bahar Hazeh, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, means the area right around the mountain. Hatam b'chol eile, Rabban says, turning the page, ki Yisrael chanu lefnei har Sinai b'karav lo. This is worth just picturing for a moment. Kol Yisrael show up to Har Sinai around 6 weeks after leaving Mitzrayim, around 5 weeks after Kriyas Yam Suf. Right? Pesukim say, v'shchol reshiv, and they show up. It's around 5 weeks, because it's close to a week before Matan Torah. They're there for a year minus 10 days. Right? Because in Chumash Bamidbar, we're going to hear these Pesukim he was quoting, time to start moving, by Yisum Me'ar Hashem, that's the 20th, I believe, the 20th of Iyar. Close to a week after Pesach Sheni. The first Pesach Sheni in Jewish history. Is that right? Yeah. Close to a week after the first Pesach Sheni in Jewish history. So they've been there for almost a year. They already built the Mishkan. And Moshe Rabbeinu went and they encamped Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Close to a week later is Mamad Har Sinai. Moshe's up on the mountain for 40 days. He was supposed to come down Shavas B'Tama. Shavas B'Tama should have been a great day of Kabbalah Satorah. Shavas B'Tama should have been the day that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the Luchos and begins to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. Instead, as we know, it gets derailed. But ultimately comes down on Yom Kippur, becomes a day of Kabbalah Satorah. The day that he comes down with a second set of Luchos and can begin to teach Torah, Yud Aleph Tishrei, begins to give Shiurim. He tells them about the Mishkan. And the project commences, according to the Vilna Gaon. The donations were in the rate to begin building on the 15th of Tishrei, 4 days later, which according to Vilna Gaon is probably the significance of the date of Sukkos, that the day they begin building Beis Hashem is the day that we switch into living in a sukkah. Per according to some Midrashim, Chanukah, they're done. But it only actually gets put together the end of Chodesh Adar, coming up later this month. At the end of the last week of Chodesh Adar, the Miluim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Mishkan is officially open for business, the Miluim begin, the Nisim begin to bring their Karbanos, the Karbanos and the Nisim begin, all the way up until a few days before Pesach. The next Pesach, they bring the first Karban Pesach outside of Mitzrayim. A month later is Pesach Sheni. And then, roughly a week later, they're ready to travel. And they would have traveled straight to Eretz Yisrael were it not for chet after chet after chet, as described in this latter half of Baal Oscha into Shlach. Right? They start complaining, and one thing leads to another, spiral downward, 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 until finally they send Miraglim around the beginning of Tammuz. They come back 40 days later, a very dastardly 40 days. Come back 40 days later, and they left the very end of Sivan. They come back the era of Tisha B'Av, that night of Tisha B'Av is the Bechir Shel Chinam, and Kadosh Baruch Hu says, the punishment is it's going to be 40 years in the Midbar. So almost that entire time, Rabban now says to us, you realize from when they showed up, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, until Chaf Iyar, you know where they were living? In the foothills of Har Sinai. They built the Mishkan at the foothills of Har Sinai. Those months of work on the Mishkan in the foothills of Har Sinai. And the first 50 days of having a Mishkan, it's fascinating, it's also 49 or 50 days, same length as Sfiras Omer, right? From Rosh Chodesh Nisan until Chaf Iyar, they have a Mishkan. The first 50 days of Mishkan is open for business. They're overlooking Har Sinai. Imagine that. Imagine living in the shadow of Har Sinai. So the Kiddush of Har Sinai, the Pesukim tell us, was in Yisrael, was very temporary. The Meshocha Yavel Hemiyal of the Har, once Mamar was over, there was no Kiddush at the mountain. But there was clearly, it was, talk about it, a Zeichel of Mamar Har Sinai. No better Zeichel of Mamar Har Sinai than you haven't left yet. You wake up every morning, you see it. It's very intense. Building the Mishkan was literally in the shadow of Har Sinai. Well, let's see how literal that was. But Ramban says, that's what Har Sinai means. It doesn't mean on Har Sinai. It means in the neighborhood, in the foothills of Har Sinai. Vayishyatzu b'sachta sahar. Derech drash b'tachta sahar means that there were tachta sahar kavlan harkigigas. Apipshuto means they were living next to the mountain. And they remained there for almost a year. They built the Mishkan there
Let's take a look. Now let's take a look back at the top page of Lamed Ches. Yisrael chanu lifnei Har Sinai bekarav lo. The Jewish people camped right near Har Sinai. Vayichan sham Yisrael neged Har. Such a familiar pasuk. We only focus on that pasuk usually in terms of drashas Chazal. The Vayichan is singular. You see, they had keishecha b'leiv echad. We often lose track of the overall meaning of the pasuk, which is the Jewish people camped right near Har Sinai. Minimum commute. They didn't camp a mile away and walk over to Har Sinai from Amar Har Sinai and leave. They were mamish right there. Neged Har. And Ramban stresses they didn't move afterwards. Not just they didn't travel far away, they didn't move at all. Visham amdu ad nasa misham lemidbar paran. They were there until Chaf Ir, in the same location, right near, across the street, so to speak, from the mountain. Vihine asu ol moed. Vihekimo sof nehar bimizrachel. They built the ol moed right there, in the shadow of the mountain. In the shadow of the mountain? Literally in the shadow of the mountain. He says it was on the east side of the mountain. By the way, if you think about that, what's the significance of the fact that it was on the east side of the mountain? It means that let's think for a moment about how, let's say, a bird's eye view. Here's the mountain, here's Har Sinai. They built on the east side of the mountain. Now, if you think about the way the Ol Moed is constructed, the Ohel and the Kodesh HaKadoshim are on which side? On the west side. Right? That means it looked like this. It means that the Ol Moed was on the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the Aron was on the side closest to the mountain, because if the Ol Moed, if the Mishkan was east of the mountain, it means the west side of the Mishkan was closest to Har Sinai. Moreover, it means that, just to think about it for a moment experientially, if you're a Jew coming to the Mishkan, what was your visual? You walk into the Mishkan from the east side, from the Pesach of the Chatzer, and you're looking westward. You're looking west. Directly ahead of you is the Ol Moed, and you know that at the end of it, you can't see all the way in. Maybe you can see in to see the Parochos, perhaps. You know, looking that way is Kodesh HaKadoshim, and then if you look up behind the Ol Moed, Har Sinai rises majestically. Try to imagine for a moment, like, what that visual was like. For those couple of months, or we said, for that month, for those 50 days, the first 50 days of the Mishkan, a Jew walks into Mishkan, you see Mishkan, and right above you see Har Sinai. Especially for the Ramban, who says that the Mishkan was meant to be, we learned about several times in the course of Chumash Shemos, Ramban who says the Mishkan was meant to be a Hemsheikh of Har Sinai, for the first equivalent of Sefiras HaOmer, it was literally, you can see it. You looked straight ahead, you saw the Mishkan, and above it you saw Har Sinai. Very, very powerful. And the Jews were mamash living this reality week after week. The Shabbos chil ba'ol sa tamid, and that's when it began to bring carbon tamid. Olas tamid ha'asu yod b'har Sinai. Every time you hear that pasuk on Rosh Chodesh, every time you say that pasuk in Davin and Karbanos, your Ramban says you remember this. That the Jews' first experience with Karbanos was you walked into Mishkan and it was b'har Sinai. You were right next to Har Sinai. Wow. Wow. And b'shan ha'shenis nitztava adegalem, they got the tzivu to make the gal hamidu ha'ol b'soch ha'machus b'nasam. And they ready construct their, reorient, reorganize their camping around the Ol Moed, according to the four sides for the Machne Levia, the four sides for the Machne Yisrael. This is all happening in the literally in the shadow of Har Sinai. Lefika chamar kasa bekan, ki zos ha'tor lo'ovecho, karban shetziv Hashem be'Har Sinai. Biyom Tzavoso b'midbar Sinai. Because that's what the pasuk is telling me. It was b'har Sinai. And why does the pasuk have to say b'har Sinai and b'midbar Sinai? Yagid! Ki haya b'har Sinai u'b'midbar Sinai. The Torah says, uses both phrases, both descriptions, on Har Sinai in the Sinai desert. Why do you have those two? It's sort of confusing. He says, no, it's to make this point. Lohudia shlo haise b'har mamish b'makam ha'kavod. Shasham Dibri Imar Seres Hadibras.
If we just would have said Bahar Sinai, we would have made the mistake of thinking on Har Sinai, Mamish, Mam and Har Sinai. That's why Torah has to say Bimidbar Sinai. Why didn't you say Bimidbar Sinai? V'lo Bimidbar Sinai Achresh Achresh Nasun Lifnei Har. On the other hand, Midbar Sinai sounds like Midbar Sinai is an area. The Sinai Desert, we use it nowadays to mean a very large area. I don't know if we meant quite such a large area 3,000 years ago, but the Sinai Desert is more than just the immediate neighbor of one mountain. It's a whole area. It's many. I'm sorry? Okay, so that's why instead you have these two. I'm not sure. Could there have been a different way of saying it? I'm not sure. But that's why you have. That's an interesting question. Rabban says he thinks the reason why you have these two seemingly contradictory descriptions is sort of balance it out. It wasn't Mamish on Har Sinai. Sometimes Hashem Kadosh speaks to Moshe on Har Sinai. That means on Har Sinai. So I'm going to tell you, it wasn't Mamish on Har Sinai, but it also wasn't, you know, 5 miles away, somewhere in the Sinai Desert. It was specifically, as he says, Haya b'midbar Sinai, milifnei ha'har b'tchumo, the karovlo, the sham ola moed. Fascinating. It was in the tchum. I don't know if he means like within 2,000 hours. Almost, but certainly he means or within 3 parsos. Tchum daraisa, according to some. In the immediate vicinity of Har Sinai, the Karavlo, very close, the Sham Oel Moed, and that's where the Oel Moed was. K'mosh Har B'tchil Sein Ve'kra El Moshe V'Yedaber Hashem Elav Me'Oel Moed. He says, now we're going back to explain Pshat in the opening pasuk. Okay, we began Rabban by saying it seems like there's a stira between the beginning of Vayikra and the middle of Tzav. At the beginning of the seventh psukim and the seventh prakim, the end of the seventh prakim, where is this being taught? Where is this teaching happening? In the Oel Moed, Vayikra Perek Aleph, or Bahar Sinai, Vayikra Perek Zayin? Rabban says, and Rabban said before, Al Darach Rabbo Seinu, it was both. At 2 different times. Hashem taught to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, and subsequently in Oel Moed. And then the Rabban had his first approach on Darach Pshat, that part of this was taught in Har Sinai and part of it was taught in Oel Moed. But now the Rabban says, third approach, the second approach of the Darach Pshat, is no. They mean the same thing. It's what they, we don't mean that it was taught to Moshe when he was still on Har Sinai, somewhere between Shavuos and Yom Kippur. No, says Rabban. Approach number 3, he was taught this the Oel Moed, meaning sometime on or after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in the Oel Moed. That's what this means. He says the fact that it's as when we're explaining, where is the Oel Moed? Oel Moed where? The Oel Moed moved, as we're going to learn later in Chumash, 42 Masos. The Oel Moed moved all over there. The Jews traveled with the Oel Moed from place to place to place to place to place to over 40 different stops throughout the desert. So at which point in their travels did Hashem teach Moshe, these dinim, these first 7 prakim vayikra, these basic dinim of Maaser Karbanos, introduction to Kachim, the divine introduction to Kachim, was given where? In the Oel Moed, when it was still camped, right near Har Sinai. That's what he says. Haya b'midbar Sinai melifnar b'tchumo is in the Brisei, not just in those square miles around Har Sinai, but when they were still next across the street from Har Sinai. V'sham Oel Moed, and that's where the Oel Moed was. The Oel Moed that we mentioned before, K'moshe Amar B'tchil Se'inyin, V'yikra Moshe V'yedaber Hashem Elav Me'Oel Moed, we mentioned at the beginning of these 7 prakim, that Hashem told Moshe in Oel Moed, so you know, within the Rashi, beginning of V'yikra, is focused on where in the Oel Moed did Moshe stand? Where did the kol come from? The kol came from Kodesh HaKadoshim, he was staying in the Kodesh. Great. That's telling me relative to the parameters of Oel Moed, but where geographically was the Oel Moed located? Was it in Midbar Paran, Midbar Tzin, here, there, where? So you say, no, Hodiyo Sanuata, Mekom Oel Moed. It's important to know that the basic dinim of Kachim were taught when they already begun the Oel Moed period, but the very beginning of the Oel Moed period, when the Oel Moed and the Jews were still located across the street, next door to Har Sinai. That visual that we spoke about before, the Jew would walk into Mishkan for the first 50 days of the Mishkan, first 49, 50 days, would walk in and see the Mishkan and above it the Har Sinai, that very ideal type of situation, that's when HaKadosh, it was during that first month and change that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu in the Ohel HaMoed these dinim of the Chatas and the Ola and the Shlamim and the Yashim and the Karban Mincha. It was taught for the Ramban. You have three different parameters, three different terms defining a single location. Ba'ol HaMoed, Bahar Sinai, Bamidbar Sinai, together, you sort of like triangulate them. It wasn't when Moshe was still on Har Sinai. It wasn't after they had already traveled away. It was in the Ohel HaMoed, when the Ohel HaMoed was across the street from Har Sinai. So this is sort of the context that the Torah is laying out for us to appreciate the context in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu these ki dinim, these yesodos of kachim. Probably worth thinking about this from time to time. Maybe once in a while when you say karbanos, to think about the context in which it was originally said. When you say those words, when you hear those words, Olas tamid ho'asiyo b'har Sinai. And it's the Purim is also Yantiv Kabbalah Satorah. Purim is Yantiv Kabbalah Satorah in the opposite direction. By which I mean, Hadr Kiblu B'mei HaChashverosh, that was a Kabbalah Satorah, as we spoke about last week, with a focus in Torah Shva Peh. Specifically, with a focus, it was a Kabbalah Satorah without direct Gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The opposite. It was the opposite extreme from walking into a Mishkan and seeing the Anan and seeing the Mamash. They walk into Mishkan, you look straight ahead, you see the Mizbeach with a miraculous pillar of smoke. Right beyond it is the Mishkan, the Ohel HaMoed. Right beyond that is Har Sinai. Mamash, Gilui Shebegilui. The other extreme is 1,000 years later, is Purim, where nothing is Megu. They're out of Eretz Yisrael. The Nes isn't even going to result, as the Gemara points out, in Jewish sovereignty, Levasov. They'll remain subjects of the Persian Empire, remain subjects of this mercurial emperor Achashverosh. And it doesn't, to the naked eye, nothing really happened. I mean, we're in a better position than we were. There wasn't any evident Yad Hashem. For people who could look at a terrible situation and say, Im lo le'ez kazos higat l'malchus, you're here for a reason, everything is clear. But there was a Kabbalah HaTorah, but the opposite type, a Kabbalah HaTorah in opposite type of situations. But part of, as Ramban tells the end of Parshas Bo, in many ways the goal is to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a Purim sense, but the power to do it is from a Tzav situation. Ramban writes in Parshas Bo that the objective of remembering the Nisim Niglim of Pesach and the way in which they made it clear that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world and that he cares about us, he's involved in our lives, is so that we can recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Nisim Nistar. So we need a Tzav to help us with the Purim. We have come with a Tzav, with the Asiyah Bahar Sinai, that gives us the eyes to be able to see our Kadosh Baruch Hu even in our own type of Purim style situations. These are some of the many Yesodos. Parshat Tzav.